39 days to Brexit and still no clarity on whether or not a deal can be done. British proposals for dealing with the backstop have finally been delivered in Brussels, but only as what are called non-papers, non-binding working documents which don't commit either side. The Taoiseach is due to meet Boris Johnson in New York on the margins of the UN General Assembly, but will the British Prime Minister have anything new to tell him? Well, here's what Dominic Raab, Britain's Foreign Secretary, had to say this morning when asked by Andrew Marr if he would feel comfortable with Northern Ireland being treated differently from a customs and regulatory perspective to the rest of the UK.
I think as a general overarching across all the rules, no, of course that'd be wrong. And indeed,
what you just said is very significant.
I want to answer it really squarely.
Okay,
so you'll know there have been discussions because the island of Ireland is already managed for agri-food on a common basis. That is something which, if it had the consent of the parties of Northern Ireland, we would be willing to discuss further with our EU partners.
Further.
Well, I think the more you get into, the further you go, the more you put at risk the principle that there'll be no change in the status of Northern Ireland without the consent of the people of Northern Ireland. And fundamentally, that's democratically wrong, and I think would be a threat to the Good Friday Agreement that on all sides we want to preserve.
That's Dominic Raab, Britain's Foreign Secretary. I'm joined on the line now by the Minister of State for European Affairs, Helen McEntee. Good afternoon, Minister.
Good afternoon, David.
The Irish and EU position has been that having an all-Ireland animal health system post-Brexit would be welcome but doesn't go far enough. But Dominic Raab there made it clear that that's as far as they are prepared to go.
Well, I think it's important, and it's probably important to say that it's positive they've presented papers at this stage. As you say, they're only working documents as far as we are concerned, and I think the Commission, it's become apparent over the past few days what has been presented doesn't go far enough.
Have you seen those documents? Sorry to cut across.
No, I haven't seen those documents yet. So, I mean, what I gather from them is that obviously there is a discussion around the all-island checks for particularly animal health and welfare, but we know in order to prevent any kind of reintroduction of infrastructure, to prevent checks, but also to protect the flow of the economy, and this is what has already been committed by the UK government, we need to go further than that. So I think this is obviously a start, and I think this is something that we hopefully can work from. However, as you've just outlined at the very beginning, we're less than 6 weeks until the actual deadline, so there is very little time left. The Taoiseach will be, of course, as you've said, be meeting Boris Johnson this week, and I think what he will be stressing again and what he emphasised in their most recent meeting just 2 weeks ago is that we are willing to look at any proposals that essentially achieve the same objectives of the backstop. So, you know, we're not wedded to the backstop, in that if we have something else that can achieve those same objectives, how do we ensure that there is a continued flow of people and goods north and south, but also how do we protect the Good Friday Agreement? If we can do that in another way, then obviously we're willing and ready to hear that. But what's been proposed so far doesn't go far enough. But we have to remember the UK have committed to protecting the Good Friday Agreement. They're co-guarantors of what is an international peace treaty.
Sure.
And so every effort needs to be made to make sure that that is the case.
Sure. But, I mean, you at least have some idea of what was in those British papers presented on Thursday, I think it was, in Brussels. You've had an idea of the thinking of the British government. Is there anything that could do that job, that could replace the backstop and deliver the same aim?
Well, this is what we're trying to establish, and really it's the UK who have consistently said there are ways to do that. We've consistently said, well, we need to see what that is. And so we've seen an element of how we can get there, and again, I think that's progress. But, you know, we know that in terms of animal trade or animal crossings, it only accounts for about 30% of those that cross north and south. So we need to see much more than that. We know when it comes to customs, obviously, that poses a challenge. We know when it comes to manufactured goods, all of these things need to be looked at. So while I think we're starting to make some form of progress, I think the landing zone is, we're still not quite there, and I think there's still a significant way to go. But I think we have to remain positive, and I've always been positive throughout this. At the same time, when Jean-Claude Juncker was asked earlier on this week or later on this week, does he think the chances of a deal is over 50%? He rightly answered, I don't know. And I think none of us know at this stage. The only people who can actually give us those answers and prevent a no deal from happening are the UK. And while these papers are welcome, they simply do not go far enough. They simply do not fulfil and achieve the same objectives that the backstop does. and that is what we are looking to do.
Okay, so you're waiting for proposals, for further proposals from Britain. Are you expecting the Taoiseach to hear anything from Boris Johnson this week in New York that's going to change the picture?
Well, we don't know. I suppose we have to allow the meeting to happen. There's obviously a huge number of meetings taking place. It's somewhat focusing on climate change, sustainable development. We're looking at online terrorism. So this will be one meeting in a series of meetings taking place throughout the week. The Prime Minister is not going to present proposals because the negotiation obviously is between the EU and the UK, and that has always been the case. However, I think it's important to build relations between our countries. I think it's important that we have an ability of both Prime Minister and the Taoiseach to be able to discuss how we move forward, not just on Brexit, but also the institutions in the North, which I think will be extremely important in all of this process as well. I think we need to see and know that we will have institutions up and running for any kind of a deal to work. And I think those kind of conversations will be had. And again, I think the Taoiseach will emphasise his openness to the Prime Minister and his team presenting further proposals to the EU, because it's the EU that these papers need to be presented to. It's Michel Barnier who needs to see these proposals. And obviously we will work through him and with him to see if they can fulfil the same objective.
Okay, and if the Northern institutions are restored, if the Assembly is up and running, if the Executive is up and running, there is talk from the British side of giving those institutions some kind of a role in managing whatever process comes. But that, from your point of view, that can't presumably give the Assembly or one of the parties in the Assembly a veto over EU rules and regulations.
Absolutely not. I think what needs to happen is that all people in Northern Ireland, all political parties have a say in the future direction of Northern Ireland, and I think that should of course be the case. So, you know, whatever we agree to or whatever can be agreed, I think it's important that people in Northern Ireland, not just one political party, but all political parties have a say in their future direction. And, you know, that's always been the case, particularly when you look at the Good Friday Agreement, when you look at the future direction of Northern Ireland, it has always been based on the consent of the people, and that needs to continue in that direction. But again, in order to even get to that stage, we need to have a proposal. We need to have something which, again, allows the flow of people, the flow of goods, which protects the Good Friday Agreement, which protects the cooperation which has culminated from that, which does all of those things, whether it's a backstop or not. We're not particularly hung up on that, but if it fulfills the same requirements and commitments, then obviously that's something that we can put to the people, or we can ask and allow them to have their say. But, you know, we're not at that point yet.
Okay.
And again, it's up to the UK to present anything in that regard.
Okay, there is still obviously the possibility of no deal, and people are obviously interested in what happens if there is no deal. Here's what European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker said on this morning's Sophie Ridge programme on Sky News.
We have to make sure that the interests of the European Union and of the internal market will be preserved. An animal entering Northern Ireland without border control can enter without any kind of control the European Union via the southern part of the Irish island. This will not happen. We have to preserve the health and the safety of our citizens.
Okay, that was Jean-Claude Juncker there. Helen McEntee, he's been fairly clear there will have to be a border if there's no deal. If the choice is between protecting the All-Ireland economy and protecting the single market, the government position, as I understand it, is that we will protect the single market. That means putting up a border.
Well, I think what he also said in that interview, because it was quite a lengthy interview, was that we cannot have any hard or physical border or infrastructure between North and South. So he was very clear in saying that. And also,
but there's a contradiction there, isn't there, that we have to protect the single market, and the government accepts that, I think.
We do, absolutely, and we've said there will have to be checks, but what we're very clear is that there cannot be checks in or around the border. There cannot be checks that would pose any kind of a threat to anybody on this island, and so that's the twin objective of the Commission, and that's what we've been trying to, and that's what we're working through at the moment. How do we protect the single market, and in as much as possible Ireland's place in it, how do we protect the Good Friday Agreement? And that's an extremely difficult thing to do when you don't have a deal. And what we know it will do will completely disrupt the flow of our economy. It will be additional cost. It will be additional hardship for business. So this is not an avenue that we want to be going down. However, we need to protect our place in the single market as a country that exports 90% of what we produce. It is our single market, and it's extremely important to our economy. However, we have to protect, and as Jean-Claude Juncker rightly said, history cannot be allowed to repeat itself. And I think some people seem to forget what was happening not that long ago. So it becomes very difficult to do both of those things, but we're absolutely committed, as is the Commission, in doing that. So, you know, I think he was very clear in saying there cannot be physical infrastructure or borders between north and south, but we will have to have checks somewhere.
Okay.
Where they will be and what that will look like, we're still working through with the Commission, and obviously it's not something that's going to be good for Ireland. It will not be the same as the backstop. It will not produce the same results, but we're working with them, and obviously when we have an idea of what that looks like, we will be sharing that with people.
Okay, Helen McEntee, Minister of State for European Affairs, thanks very much for joining us. Justin.
Now we can talk to Tim Bale, Professor of Politics at Queen Mary University in London. He joins us from Brighton, where he's at the Labour Party conference. Tim, thanks for joining us. We'll discuss Boris Johnson and his options at a moment, but you're in Brighton. Labour has its own troubles, a plot to oust its deputy leader Tom Watson, the resignation of one of Jeremy Corbyn's advisers, and divisions over the party's stance on Brexit. It's a bad time for the party to be in such disarray.
It is. Clearly, it's all over the place on Brexit. We've got Jeremy Corbyn saying one thing. We've got a shadow foreign secretary saying another. We've got his shadow chancellor saying another thing. We've got union bosses saying yet another thing. It's incredibly confusing. There's a poll out today that says 69% of voters think that Labour's policy is unclear. They are in a complete and utter mess over this.
Yes, and I'm just reading quotes from Emily Thornberry, who is the Foreign Affairs Policy Chief for the party, saying that the Labour Party should make a decision on what to campaign for in any second referendum now. The decision should be made now. Is Jeremy Corbyn going to be backed into a corner to get off the fence and come down on one side on the Brexit debate?
Well, I think the vast majority of Labour members would actually like him to do that, but that's been the situation in some ways for the last two Labour Party conferences, and what we've seen is a fudge emerge from conference whereby everybody can interpret what comes out of it in their own way, but it never seems to end up with Jeremy Corbyn actually committing to one thing or another. He seems to want still to leave the decision of whether to campaign for Remain or leave in a second referendum until after the general election. But there will be today a meeting trying to get a motion voted on the floor of the conference tomorrow, which actually forces him into a corner, as you put it, on that. Whether that will succeed, I think, is another matter, because Labour members still are big fans of Jeremy Corbyn himself, and many of them don't want to do anything that puts him in an awkward position, whatever they think of Brexit.
OK, now let's talk about Boris Johnson, because proposals from his government this week aimed at getting rid of the backstop have been roundly rejected by both the Irish government and by EU negotiators. What are his options now?
Well, his options are essentially to try and hang on till after the Conservative Party conference to come up with any more detailed plan. I think that is probably his immediate game plan, because if he were to come up with anything too detailed that looked like a compromise or a kind of backsliding on his part, his party would rebel over it. So we're going to see him stall for time, I think.
And is it likely that he would be more amenable to making concessions after that conference?
I think that is likely, that's right. I mean, we can't guarantee that he will do that, and we can't guarantee that any of what he's doing isn't actually just playing for time to run down the clock to try and crash out without a deal. It's difficult to see how he can do that, given that Parliament has supposedly blocked that route. But it's interesting to see that, you know, Michael Gove this morning, you know, one of his closest lieutenants, is still talking about 31st of October, you know, come what may. Boris Johnson is still talking about that. So people do worry that they have got some scheme up their sleeve to allow them to crash out without a deal. I think what may happen he will either manage to cut a deal, and then it's a question of whether he can actually get that through Parliament, and I think that is very much a moot point, or he won't cut a deal, at which point I assume he will either resign or be no confidence, and then we will have another Prime Minister, and it won't necessarily be Jeremy Corbyn sending a letter to the EU asking for an extension.
All right, plenty to look ahead to in the coming weeks. Tim Bale, Professor of Politics at Queen Mary University in London, thank you for joining us from Brighton.